CliffCentral.com.
It's time to welcome back Dr. Hanan. How's it, Dr. Hanan? How are you? Happy Monday.
Hey, guys. Happy Monday to you, too. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. So, you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was great. Relaxing, working, you know, doing good stuff.
Nice. Yeah, I think everybody loves a weekend. We just wish they were longer. Dr. Hanan, we've got to petition government. You're a psychologist, so we can definitely speak to government and try and get them to, you know, ease the pressure on so many people. Maybe make a 4-day week, and then we can have all the unemployed people pick up the slack on that final, the fifth day, so that the rest of us can do a 4-day week. I wouldn't be opposed to the idea. If we can be more productive in a shorter space of time, we could probably do it, right?
As a matter of fact, I'm sure there's research out there that indicates that you can be more productive in a 4-day week. Mm. You know, what I love about Google the most is that you can really find anything. If you want to know why chocolate is good for weight loss, just type it on Google.
Yeah.
You'll get an article, a published research on why chocolate is good for weight loss. You know,
and it'll support whatever position you already took.
Absolutely.
funny that. It's amazing how that works, huh? Isn't it great? All right. It is also time this morning for us to reconvene with an old friend and someone who's been part of the Cliff Central family for a very long time. His name is Dave Levinson. Here he is. Hello, Dave. How you, dude?
There I am. How are you?
Nice to see you.
It's good to see all five of you as well.
You look you look like a silver fox. The hair is just a little bit grayer than it was the last time I saw you. But you're looking good, dude. What's happening?
Thank you. You guys looking good too. I've got some interesting news for you. That there's an advert for Escort's Russian sausages with Kells, coconut Kells.
Yes.
On the interweb.
Oh yes, yeah.
The person she's talking to is supposed to be Vladimir Putin.
Oh right.
But I'm the guy in the ad because of the back of my head is bald and I look like Vladimir Putin from the back.
Oh, wow. You look like Vladimir Putin from the back. You do look like Vladimir Putin from the back. In fact, why don't we just do the rest of this conversation with you looking towards the back and then people will think we've actually got I'll just change the name under you to Vladimir Putin and no one will be any the wiser, right? I mean, why not?
Yeah, if you turn around, you get more people watching your show.
Thanks so much. Yeah. All right. Here he is, everybody. Here's Vladimir Putin. Turn around quickly. Go, turn around. And then just
quick.
Go, and just sound like you're speaking backwards.
Gareth, you forgot a vowel, but it doesn't matter. It's Russian.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it doesn't matter. There are no vowels in Russian.
Vowels will get you. Eh?
All right. So, Dave, listen, it's always good to see you, dude. And I haven't seen you for a little while. Obviously, the last 2 years, and we were talking to Wes about this earlier, the last 2 years in the entertainment business, especially stand-up comedy, which is what you do, has been bloody awful. I mean, we have seen you in a couple of TV ads, actually, and that's great. But you say you haven't had you haven't had a great 2 years. So tell us what you've been up to, and then we can hear your story, and Dr. Hanan can help you and so many other people who've gone through the same thing unpack it.
Exactly. When Dory phoned me and said, "Do you want to speak to Gareth?" It was about 3 or 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. I said, "No, not yet. I don't really have my shit together."
Okay.
So recently she said, "How are things going?" I said, "A little bit better, so let's chat." Because I'd hate to just go, "Hey, Dr. Hanan, everything's fucked."
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you have to get in a queue for everyone that's having a hard time. So I said, "Let me find some sort of solution, and then we can have like a positive chat about stuff to do." You know? So it's the last 3 months have just been a little bit better than the last 2 years, let's say. I don't think people understood what happened. Like if you're an actress or a TV actress or Seven Delon, I don't care, or a stage actress, if you're not in front of the camera or on stage doing your thing, you're not earning money. And they say that comedians are smart people and whatever, but obviously financially we're not that fit.
Well, I mean, listen, financially, I think a lot of people have been suffering, so it's not just you. But tell us about what you've been through, because, I mean, I'm just looking at all of this in the context of, you know, Ricky Rick, who committed suicide just a week and a bit ago. We had, not so long ago, a spate of these suicides in the entertainment industry. And we hear about people who have been very successful and people who have been, you know, the kind of people who we've all looked up to and we've thought, oh, they're okay. They've definitely got their shit together. Tell us what you went through so that we can just get a context for what you mean.
I think that's exactly what happened. There's a lot of people think that you must have had a plan for this, and wow, you're rich, you're Jewish.
Oh, right. Is that what they say?
And I'm not Jewish or rich. The thing is, so on the 17th of March, 2020, I had a gig that night. It was St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And I was off to a golf club to do my golf day stuff that I do. That's how I earn some money, by emceeing and mm-hmm. doing awards evenings. And that was, say, like a 20,000 rand gig on that night was lost. And the next three nights, I had gigs planned as well. And they all just started saying, sorry, because lockdown. So I just sat in my hammock there. And luckily, I think a sense of humor gets you through.
Right.
You know, I feel terrible for someone like Ricky Rick to not have had said anything to anyone. You should be able to notice it, but you can't, because people, I know with my mom having depression issues, you just don't know what's happening in their head. They look happy. They look like they got their shit together, like you said. And then, so the next few months, I kind of went, okay, maybe this isn't going to last for that long. Then I realized, no, this is long. So maybe you've got a month or two salary stored, if you're smart.
Yeah.
I wasn't smart. I had a two-bedroom hammock, and that's where I sat drinking beer for 3 weeks. And then I realized, shit, I need to do some stuff. So luckily I had friends and family who said, listen, you're not working, you're not doing comedy, do you want to do some online stuff? So I said, I don't have money for Wi-Fi. I don't have, everything's gone. Like the weird thing is I was blacklisted by a tracking company that tracks your car. I won't say who it is, but they track your car.
That's unbelievable.
And they wanted to blacklist me for 88 rand a month. And I said, okay, track my car because I can see it there in the garage. There's no need to track it, but I can really see it. It's over there.
Unbelievable.
The store says I can't drive it anyway.
Assholes.
Then I realized I have to hide it, not from them. I have to hide it from Westbank as well, because they also phoned and they said, can we come and fetch your car? I said, well, you're going to have to find it. It's hidden away.
Oh, dude.
Because they take it to a lot and then they sell it to a auction for 60 grand, and then you still owe them the 120, so you still owe Westbank 60. It's just a mess, and they don't care. So Standard Bank take your house, their phone, and say, we're auctioning the house next week. I'm like, it's lockdown. I can't pay for it. And then they say, when do you think you can pay for it? So then you're like, well, I try not to think about it.
Dude, this is the, I mean,
there's no empathy, I think, for these people. They're just, it's a call center or a person working there, and they've just got a list of names of people. And now I've been handed over to lawyers, but that's also fine. Luckily, I do have a sense of humor. So they phone about 8 different agencies a day. So I chat to, when do you think you can pay?
Dude.
That's my, when do you think we can expect payment? So I say, well, don't expect it, because you're just going to be let down and you're going to be depressed.
All right, but you are, I mean, like, you're the kind of guy who you always joke about stuff and you pretend it's okay. But I know that this must have been bloody awful to go through, and you're continuing to go through it. And you're not the only one.
Luckily, I've got a good group of people around me. So family, friends. So it's not just about money. Although, I mean, Martin Evans, a comedian, he sent me money during lockdown. Mm-hmm. Friends of mine didn't even ask. They just said, what's your bank account number? Let's get you some stuff.
That's amazing.
Those are the good friends. And then my mom, who's a pensioner, she sent me money every month just to, she might not have known that I was sleeping in my car for a little bit. You know that Volkswagen that your friend couldn't start the other day?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have good friends, and you know that it's not forever, because you remember 2009?
Sure.
The credit crunch hit South Africa and hit comedians as well, because companies would stop their entertainment budget and they would stop their conference budget. So that's the first thing they'd stop. So 2009, it's the exact same thing happened to me. Where I had a kid.
Yeah.
So now I'm used to this. So let's get it over with. And keep your wits about you, and just know it's not forever.
All right.
That's the thing. It isn't forever. And I've been through tough times as well. And it takes family and friends to say, but Leanne, don't you remember 10 years ago, you were helping me out, you know?
Exactly. So I don't know.
You gave me a roof over my head.
Exactly. And you got that strength from somewhere, from your upbringing, or somewhere along the line, you just knew that these things are not permanent. I'm selling CBD coffee at markets, and some people will walk past and go, aren't you that famous guy? I'm like, well, you don't get a famous check every month.
A check for being famous.
You did some famous work this week. Here's a check for you.
Yeah.
So I was selling the coffee, and then I recently started working at an estate agent here in Kyalami, where I live. So that's been crazy, because they do training every hour. And it's been incredible just to see people doing stuff and working in business. It's been like a platform for going, hang on a minute,
All right. Well, let's bring Dr. Hanan in here, because I think maybe his advice is valuable to a lot of people who've been through similar situations. Do you want to just pick it up? I mean, financial strain is obviously a big one, but you know, Dave spoke about friends and family. Dr. Hanan, where do you start to unpack these things?
You know, during the pandemic, when people were struggling, I heard so many people judge on the sidelines that, well, they should have been prepared for it. They should have had a contingency plan. But how do you have a contingency plan for a pandemic or for really an event that you could not predict? Life is unpredictable. But also, when somebody goes through a rough time, there's always kind of the four horsemen of getting out of it, let's call it. And you mentioned, Dave, a couple of them. And I just want to highlight these four things that are non-negotiable when anybody's going through a hard time. The first one is you got to have a system, a blueprint, a game plan, a formula, a schedule, whatever you want to call it, to get out of this position. You know, in the newspaper at the back, they would give you like a chess problem. And you're in the middle of a chess game and say, what's your next move for a checkmate? Or what's your next move for whatever? And almost laugh, kind of you wake up the next morning and this is your chessboard. And you got to come up with a formula to get the checkmate. And without a formula, winging life is just too difficult. Mm. You cannot wing it. I don't care what anybody says. Nobody's smart enough to wing life. You know, we can wing life when life is a 2x2 Rubik's cube. That's when you can wing it. But when life becomes a 3x3 or a 4x4 or a 10x10, nobody's smart enough to wing life. And if you are the type of person that's kind of a lastminute.com, that's fine. If you want to have a 2x2 life, that's okay. But the moment life becomes more robust and complicated and complex, you can't wing it. You've got to find a system. You've got to find a blueprint. You've got to find a game plan, a formula to getting to the next move. And a lot of people will say, well, where do I get it? I don't know what the game plan is. Well, that's when it comes to the second part. You've got to lean on other people. So just to give you an analogy, if I don't know how to lose weight, because I just don't know. Well, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel myself. I'm going to lean on somebody that has the know-how on how to do it. If I want to get fitter, well, if I want to become a better runner and I don't know the formula, well, that's okay. I will lean on a professional that will give me the formula. I don't have to reinvent the wheel. Somebody's out there that has been there, done that, got the T-shirt, knows the formula, can help you with the formula. So my number one advice is create a system. Don't wing it. If you wing it, you're going to rely on what you call emotional memory. You're going to rely on old patterns. Well, perhaps it's some of the old patterns that have got you this way, and there's no blame. Of course, it's a pandemic that's a major part of it, but you've got to rely on a different formula that gets you a different outcome. Then number two, the social connection. Not only to calibrate you, you know, because we get calibrated through people. That's where you can have a conversation with somebody, you're in the worst mood, and 5 minutes later, you feel kind of okay. You feel kind of, hey, like I'm being supported. Being alone is one of the worst feelings in the world. Thinking that you're doing something by yourself is one of the worst feelings in the world. Don't do it. Rely on people that can relate. And people say, well, I only have one friend. Well, good on you. Mm. Good for you. If you have that one friend that you can lean on, somebody that will make you feel or semi-calibrate you, well, good for you. Number three, always know, always, always know that everything is going to be okay, period. Everything is going to be okay. You've got to live with hope. You know, Dave, I want to share with you a quick research. I don't think I've ever shared this on the show, but in 1950, this guy by the name of Richter did this most incredible piece of research. He took domesticated rats and he put them in a bucket of water and he wanted to see how long they'd survive for. So the rats could not get out, but you could see in camera. They went down, came back up, went down, came back up. And they all drowned within 15 minutes. They couldn't last more than 15 minutes. He repeated this experiment, and he took the same domesticated rats, and he put them in the bucket of water. But this time, at the 15-minute mark, he saved them. He picked them up, dried them off, and then he put them back in the bucket of water to see how long they'd last this time.
And this they lost his funding.
Well, in 1950, it was still very appropriate. Well, today we'd look at that and go, that's quite cruel. But listen to this. The first set of rats lost at 15 minutes. The second set of rats, the one that he put back, lost at almost 3 days, 60 hours, 240 times longer. Why? Because he instilled hope. The second set of rats knew that they were going to be saved. The moment you let go of hope, you're done. Your body can take on a ton load of stress. You know, when people say to me, oh, I'm burnt out, I tell them, you still have 95% capacity left. But when this goes, it's game over. And Dave, I'm sure you've been there where you've lost hope, because we've always been there, and how difficult it is to pick you up once this goes. Once your body's tired, your body can continue for 60 hours. But when the head goes, when you've lost hope, there's no continuing. And the fourth thing that I want to mention, Dave, that is so important, which you've mentioned, and you're quite right, you've got to have a sense of humor. While you're doing it, you can't marry the moment. You cannot marry the moment, because the moment is not the future. And the one thing that allows us to transcend the moment is humor. There's no question. There's something, you know this better than anyone else, Dave. Humor just transcends your will. You know, when you're having a good laugh, when you're connecting to somebody and laughing about something that's really funny, you're no longer in the moment. You're no longer in this present moment on Earth. You're somewhere on another planet. And to have a sense of humor and be philosophical about the moment is paramount. It's incredibly important while going through this. So these are the four things that you should keep in mind if you're going through a tough time.
I love it. This is such useful advice. And there are lots of people.
Wow.
I mean, Marco says this is brilliant, brilliant advice. And Congo Chris says what Hanan said is just so true. Even if people feel unsafe or unsure, they revert back to a period of their life that they last felt safe or stable. You often see people going through it after serious breakups. And hope is key, right? That's so important. So anybody, sure. I mean, because Dave, I have it in the back of my mind that because of your sense of humor, you'll always be all right. And you've got the kind of brain that, I mean, you've made beer, you tell me now you're selling like CBD oil, you're an estate agent, you're a comedian, you're all of these things. We also are built for survival, you know, and humans are hugely resilient. Isn't that right, Dr. Hanan?
Absolutely. But you've got to know that it's going to work out fine. You can never, ever, ever lose hope. You've got to know that even if it's not fine now, it's not the end. You know, what's this saying? It's if it's not, I can't even think, I don't know if you remember the saying, it's if it's not okay, it's not the end, or I don't remember it. But anyway, the point is that if things are not okay now, it's not the end of the story. You've got to know that in a step down the line or two steps down the line, everything works out to be perfectly as it should. And by the way, I need to say something about it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay doesn't mean it's going to turn out the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to turn out to be okay nonetheless.
Right.
Because how we want it to turn out doesn't mean that that's how it should. How we paint the picture down the line doesn't mean that that's how it should turn out. But it's going to be okay means it's going to work out at the end of the day.
So the other thing is to know that other people are going through something as well. They might be hiding it well. So all the comedians that get these phone calls, they say they avoid them. They see the number that's withheld, or it's a 0101 number, that's the bank. Always answer that phone. It gives you someone to talk to, and you make these call center people laugh their asses off, and they forget why they phoned you. But always answer the phone. Because don't answer the phone, obviously they can. There is a thing called the subscribe debt. If you don't get hold of someone for 3 years, it becomes a debt that they can't recover. But then you are also blacklisted. Then you can't get a cell phone. You can't get petrol. But answer the phone, talk to them. Be nice. They're just doing their job. They don't know your situation.
I've noticed through doing that, because I've been in the same position.
They recognize your voice.
You end up realizing that they're human beings too. And you do find that empathy sometimes.
Mm.
You know, there's sometimes that I'll just sigh and say, I can't tell you when I'm going to be, when I can pay that. When I'm paid,
they can hear the sound of the Marmite on the toast. They know times are hard.
Yeah, exactly. and you'll find they're so appreciative of you being honest. And they're like, no, don't worry, we'll make a plan. I'm not good at the pursuit and eagle. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's about not hiding. Don't hide. You can confront it. By hiding, all you're doing is kicking the can down the road, and you think it's gonna still remain a can down the road, but it turns into a barrel. Don't hide. Confront it.
Yeah.
Listen, Dave, we got to get you on to come and join us one morning and just kick the can around, because that's kind of
what. Have to get up at 6 o'clock again.
Yes, I'm sorry. We'll make you do it.
Because I'm mad.
Come on.
You're resilient, Dave. Come on. You can do it.
Let's do it.
I need a psychologist now.
Yeah, this is what you got. What do you mean? We just gave you a free session. You greedy son of a bitch. We're not even going to charge you for this.
That's my time. I got to go now.
All right. Dr. Hanan, press stop on your clock, right, and we don't have to charge Dave this morning. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Hanan Bushkin every Monday, and Dave Levinson, will have you back soon, my friend. Nice to see you.
Thanks. CliffCentral.com.